Good morning. Welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church's internet live stream service. I guess this is close as I can figure, the sixth week we've been doing this. It's hard to believe that we've been limited to live stream services for that long. Question comes to all our minds is, are we near the end of this? Well, I could say I believe we are, but your guess is as good as mine. It is sad that there's still many folks in Tarrant County that are continuing to come down with this crazy virus. So please, please, please be in prayer that we see that number of folks getting sick drop. It's sad, of course, and I believe the numbers yesterday or this morning were 52 people in Tarrant County lost their lives due to the virus. So we pray that that number would soon drop literally to zero. We understand that the restrictions from the state and locally are beginning to loosen concerning churches. But they're still strongly encouraging churches like ours that have the ability to live stream their services to continue to do so. So please be in prayer. We surely want to get back to being together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll say this, when I get to see some of you during the week, it's sure a blessing to Marcia and I both. I also want to assure you that we're making plans now on how we're going to handle things safely to protect everyone when we do begin to meet again. We want our folks to be assured that we're going to do things in the very healthiest and safest way. We're thankful the gym is literally filling up with yard sale items. But with that said, we still encourage you to bring things by, drop off for the youth fundraiser. Of course, we've said it over and over, the funds from that yard sale go to sending our young people to church camp, youth camp, and we are still awaiting word from Southland Camp over in Louisiana what they're planning for this summer's camp season. So please be in prayer about all that as well. I want to thank you very, very much, church family, Metropolitan Church family, for your faithfulness concerning your tithes and your faith promise offerings. God has been good to supply through you and meeting all the needs for our church. But with that said, please continue to be faithful in your giving, whether it be through the online ability there through our website, whether you drop it in the mail or whether you drop it off at the office. We are grateful and thankful that we are able to continue to take care of our responsibilities. Of course, for our ministries right here, but also to take care of our missionaries. It's very, very important. This evening, we're going to have another message to share with you by one of our preachers here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. And so please be in prayer about that. Brother Alan Little will be preaching for us this evening, and his message will be available through Facebook, YouTube, and or Sermon Audio's website. So please be mindful, take advantage of that. I'm sure Brother Alan will have a good word for us this evening. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercies to us. We thank you that you are the God of all and over all, that our hearts rest in you, and we're grateful and thankful for every blessing we receive from your hand. I pray, Father, pray for our community. Certainly we pray for our church family. I plead the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, over every member of our church, every family. Pray, Father, for even extended loved ones of this church family. Please, Lord, take care and protect each one and everyone. We pray for those that are battling in our community with this virus, those in the hospital, those, Father, that are severely ill, please, in your mercy, we ask you to restore and heal. As well, Father, we pray for the ongoing ministries of our church. We trust and pray that whether it be through these preaching services or through the outreach of our people, opportunities are still here for us, Lord, and we want to use them for your glory. Please bless your word. Pray for our church, but also pray for Bible believing and Bible preaching churches across our land and around this globe, that we'd stay faithful for your work and to honor our Savior in all things and in everything. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we have the blessing today of another live special. Sister Leisha Perry is going to sing for us, and Deborah Stevens is accompanying her. Please pray for them. Thank you so very much, ladies. Beautiful song. And as Miss Leisha was singing, I was struck with, oh, Lord, please help me to use the tongue that you've given me in praise of your holy name. You know, as I've mentioned time and time again, how strange it is to be in an auditorium where there's just a handful of folks. We're abiding by the rules, the guidelines. I think there's 10 people here spread out around during taking care of the internet and so forth. And I'm so thankful for them. They're the ones that are making this possible for us. And so thank you so very much, team. Well, the title of this morning's message is Strength in the Face of Discouragement. Strength, or plug in several different terms there: strength, hope, assurance, peace, all of those in the face of discouragement. I'd ask you, hopefully you have your Bible there. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 15, familiar verses indeed. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says this. It says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." The conclusion Apostle Paul makes, verse 16, "Let us therefore, because of this great high priest that we have, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Father, once again, we bow before you and thanking you for your word. Thanking you, Father, for my privilege to stand behind this holy desk and to deliver what I believe you've laid on my heart for this day. Please, Lord, take charge. Certainly take charge of the preacher. Give understanding, illumination to your word, but also, Father, the liberty of lip to a stammering tongue to be able to declare what you would have for us today. We love you, Lord. We're so grateful, so thankful for your love, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his children. Again, Lord, thank you. We pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, the simple question, are you discouraged? When you say, "Oh no, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I don't get discouraged." Right, sure. But if we're willing to be honest, we must confess that we are getting weary of the present shutdown of the society and to a great extent our normal lives. And surely we understand that the stifling of our economy is most likely, to some extent, going to have permanent consequences in people's lives. Certainly, there's place for many to be discouraged. Well, allow me, if you would, the permission to question if there's not been, again, to some measure, an overreaction to this pandemic. Were the precautions and the measures, were they needed to be put in place and practice? Well, sure, absolutely. And are we grieving those that have been sick and certainly the loss of life? Of course we are. But are those precautions that we're taking going to cause more damage than the virus caused? We may never know the answer to that question. Here in the auditorium again with a handful of folks, and every day over these last weeks, I come down and I walk the halls of our church facilities, and I have to confess, I lament that we're not able to meet together as the body of Christ. I love it. On Sunday morning when I'm walking down the hallway where the classrooms are and they're full of children and their laughter and they're chattering with each other. The teachers are there preparing to share their lessons from the Word of God with their classes. Folks are busy and laughing and greeting and expressing their love for each other. Well, yeah. That's my pity party today. The bottom line is we're all forced in these days to deal with situations that are frankly, physically, out of our control. With that, it's easy for us to get our eyes focused on the situations or the circumstances and not on the God that is above those situations. With all that's going on, we could forget, we could lose sight that our God is there. He is there for us in, as we've read, any time of need that we may have. And that includes any measure of discouragement that we might be feeling in these days. The sweet psalmist of Israel, King David, wrote in Psalm 46 in verse 1 these words. He writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Listen, a very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. Again, we read a moment ago from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where the writer pens these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for that throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful for God's grace? Gracious throne on our behalf. God promises us His help. He promises us help. And how silly for a Christian to not act upon God's invitation to us to come boldly to His gracious throne to receive whatever help we might need. Beloved, I've been saved for 45 years, and I'm not ashamed to acknowledge that I know I need God's help. I need His help every day. I need His help every moment of every hour of every day. And as your pastor, I've been begging the Lord for His wisdom, for His guidance, His direction. We're prayerfully on the threshold of being able to reopen our services and have folks back in these chairs where we can worship our God together. I'm praying for wisdom and God's direction for all that. And I am extremely thankful and grateful for all of your prayers for your pastor. You don't know what it means to me. I'll get a text at least every day. I get a text from somebody just to let me know they're praying for me. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is. And of course, Marcia and I want you to know that we're praying for you as well. Now, be mindful. Whether we can be together or not, we are not alone. Whether we're together or not, we are not alone, and we are still God's church that calls itself the Metropolitan Baptist Church. We are His people, and we can be. Now listen, we can be united in our stand for Christ, regardless of the circumstances we may be dealing with. Well, I wanted to look at a few things about how you and I in that. We're united, beloved. We're united. And we need to unite in the face of those discouraging times. We need to unite in discouraging times. Now be mindful, the church at Jerusalem faced some very, very serious issues that could have caused them discouragement. I'm talking about at the very beginning. The beginning of that time of the New Testament church. Notice that these folks were united. And you should look there in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 14. Notice that these folks were united at a time of uncertainty. At a time of uncertainty, in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we read these words. It says, and these all, speaking of those members, those of the first church there in Jerusalem, I almost said the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. That word, one accord, I love that word. It's not talking about Hondas there. One accord, the word means to have one mind. To have one mind. To be in one accord. To have one passion. The word's used 12 times in the New Testament. And interestingly, we find it 10 times. Used 10 times in the book of Acts concerning those early believers. The expression describes to be of one consent or to be in agreement. These dear folks were united in heart and mind for whatever their God had for them. But with that said, what was that going to be? Put yourself in their place, this first century church, this very first church. What was ahead for them? You know, we all deal with the reality that we really don't know what tomorrow holds. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring our way. But consider what these folks had recently in their lives dealt with. There was the devastating day of the crucifixion of their Lord Jesus. Then there was the exhilarating day of His resurrection. And now, as we read in Acts chapter 1, now in amazing fashion, they have witnessed their beloved leader, the Son of God, return to His place in heaven with His Father. Wow. Well, what's next? What was next for them? Can we agree? The theme of our word, being in one accord. Can we agree that the uncertainty of their lives was great? Notwithstanding, though, they were united in prayer. As they met there in that upper room, they were united in prayer and looking to God for whatever was next. Are we not doing the same, beloved? You and I, as Christians, as believers, aren't we not doing the same? Whether we're together or not, are we not in agreement? Are we not united in prayer, looking for God and His help and His strengthening? Yes. In faith, beloved, we rest in the peace of mind that our God not only knows what's ahead, not only knows what tomorrow will bring, but that tomorrow is under His control, not some virus's control. Yes, indeed. We need to be united, remembering to be united in a time of uncertainty. But secondly, we need to be united, and I guess this is very appropriate, in a time of waiting on God. Time of waiting on God. Now, we understand Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And we read this. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? One accord in one place." They were with in one accord in one place. The Lord Jesus Christ had given them specific instruction to wait for His promise to them. Remember? He had told them to wait in the Gospel of Luke. We read, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye, wait. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Wait. Jesus, what's Jesus saying? Wait on my promise. And then in this first chapter of Acts, in verse 4, we read, "And being assembled together with them," the Lord Jesus with them, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me." It's not always easy to wait, is it? You know, I'm a very, very impatient person. And none of you are here to say amen. Not even my wife said amen. But we know, we see that the disciples were obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to that day of Pentecost, and they're yet together and in one accord and in one place. Yes, they were obedient to their Lord. The time of waiting was now fulfilled. And the Lord's promise, now listen, the Lord's promise was kept in His giving of the Holy Spirit of God to empower believers to accomplish God's program for this very age. Beloved, are we willing to wait on God? I know we're, as we mentioned already, we're wary of what's going on in our community and all that's going on and even in our country and the world. But are we willing to wait on God to work things together? Are we willing to wait on God to accomplish what He wishes for our lives? It's critical that we do not get ahead of Him. I certainly don't want to lag behind what the Lord has for us. But I don't want to get ahead of Him either. What is next? I don't know. But God does. God does. And be mindful. None of all that's gone on over these last couple months has taken God by surprise. He has not stepped off the throne and let things go. No. Our God knows exactly what is going on now, and He knows what He is going to do next. Indeed. But then thirdly, we need to be united at a time of struggle. In times of struggle, and certainly we've been experiencing some times of struggle of late. I want to read a couple verses in Acts chapter 4, and we'll look at that chapter just a little bit beyond that. In Acts chapter 4, keeping with our theme here, in verses 23 and 24, speaking of Peter and John, they've been released from an arrest by the Jewish leadership, and we'll get to more of that in a moment. But in verse 23, it says this, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." And when they heard that, when they'd heard all that the high priest and his cronies had commanded them, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and with one accord and said, "Lord," I love this, "Lord, Thou art God." Beloved, we can get that in our hearts. We'll handle this. We can handle anything that this old world sends our way. "Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." Wow. Skip down with me, if you would, to the 32nd verse. This group, it says in verse 32, "And the multitude of them," all that early church, now growing in by amazing numbers. "And the multitude of them that believed," notice these words, "were of one heart and of one soul." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? One heart and of one soul. Now, in the context of this passage, Peter and John had gone up to the temple. And upon entering the temple, they heal a man who had been lame since his birth. All his life had been lame. Of course, the Sadducees didn't like that. The Sadducees of the first century did not believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in miracles. What we see in those early earlier verses, that the Sadducees and the captain of the temple guard arrest them and take them before the high priest and some of the high priest's cronies, some of the leaders of the Jews. And the disciples are ordered by them to no longer teach or preach in the name of Jesus or about the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 18, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." Well, Peter and John's answer to this is very important. They turned this whole situation. They turned the tables on the high priest by asking him who they should obey. Should they obey him or obey God? Should they not declare what they have heard and seen? Well, what could the high priest say in answer to that? In the end, he and the Jewish leaders could do was threaten them some more. In verse 21, so it says, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go." Listen, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. "For all men glorified God for that which was done." Of course, they were glorifying God for the healing of this man that had been restored to strength, actually given strength. He was lame from his birth. Wow. Well, the following verses here are a tremendous statement about that church's unity in the face of a struggle, in the face, in this case, of persecution. We read in verse 32 where it says, "They were of one heart and of one soul." They were in one accord. They were in agreement in their commitment to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 33 says this, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Wow. Not only were they preaching the resurrected Jesus, they were preaching, their message was about that resurrection life that is ours through faith in Christ. Look all the way back to the second verse of chapter 4. It says, this is what upset those Jewish leaders. They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Beloved, if you're a Christian, I know you rejoice with me in that life, resurrected life that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see in each of these instances that we read here, in each of these, they're recorded for us about these early believers in the book of Acts, that the Lord Jesus was pleased to enter in and grant his blessing upon those who were united in heart, in agreement concerning the cause of Christ. And there's no doubt, beloved, there is no doubt we do need the Lord's help. Regardless of viruses, regardless of restrictions, if all of this was gone, we still need God's help. It's obvious we daily need the Lord's help. We can. You listening? We can have unity. We can have His unity even while we're apart. Doesn't mean that we're separated in Christ. It's very easy to take for granted the blessings we have in Christ. Oh, yes. Can I say? It's easy to take for granted those basic elements of what we have as the body of Christ calls itself, in our case, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Could well be we've taken for granted the blessing of, can I just say it this way? The blessing of togetherness. the blessing that is ours of being together. Yes, we're the church of Jesus Christ. But that blessing of being His called out assembly. You know, in considering this thought this week, there's just something special about being together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Wow. Right now, I want to say this, in spite of that, right now, in an auditorium that's pretty much empty, I sense a great, can I say that again? I sense a great measure of togetherness, of unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, it may be virtual in setting, but beloved, we are one in Jesus Christ. No virus, no government restrictions can take from us what we have in and through our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes, indeed. We're united in Him. And through that unity of spirit, that unity of our agreement in Christ with each other, we need to look to God in these times. Look to God in discouraging times. Considering that, and a verse from the prophet Isaiah came to mind. In Isaiah 31, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1. Listen to these words. Wow. Isaiah writes and he says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help." Be mindful, Egypt's all a picture of the world in the Scriptures. "Woe to them that go down to Egypt or go down to the world for help, stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong." We look to the world and we see the strength of man's abilities. Praise God for what man can do. But notice Isaiah says, "Woe to them that do that." He goes on in the verse and he says, "But they," those ones that are trusting in Egypt, trusting in the world, "but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek they the Lord." You know, I feel sorry. Yes, I feel sorry for all those who do not know the Lord and do not have God's people. Do not have God's people. All they have is the hope that science can deliver to them. Trusting in science. Well, I saw a commercial this week for a drug company. I won't mention the drug company's name, but I saw this commercial. And they were talking about, again, I'm sure the commercial was made in light of the coronavirus and all this going along with that. But they were talking about how science was the only thing that was reliable and factual. Immediately, my red flags went up to full mast. That's not true. That is not true. The fact is, God is the creator of this world, and by Him, the Bible says, all things consist. Meaning that He not only created this world, but He is the one that holds it together. For Jim Turner, I get it real simple. God's the gravity. God's the gravity that holds everything together. Question. What is science? What is science? Well, I looked at a couple dictionaries. The word science, literally, the foundational meaning of the word is knowledge. Knowledge. Science is knowledge. And we might say science is the pursuit of knowledge in a particular area or study. That's okay. A scientist is someone that is in pursuit of knowledge. Okay. Question. Who is the author who is the source of all knowledge? Our answer is obvious, isn't it? Yes, our God is. The Lord is the author of all knowledge. Now listen to this. The Christian, remember what that word science means? Knowledge. The Christian knows the author of all knowledge. Quickly, there are some things that we know from God that we need to remember, be mindful of. That we need to remember that will help us avoid discouragement. Strength in the face of discouragement is our theme. Remember these three things, and we'll try to deal with them as quickly as we can. Three things. Number one, believer, remember our calling. Remember our calling. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, says this. Listen, wherefore, holy brethren. The idea of those words, holy brethren, those brothers that have been set apart. Those that belong to God. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. What does the writer tell us to do? He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers. Or the idea that the meaning of that word partakers is partners. Partners of what? Partners or partakers of the heavenly calling. And he goes on to tell us to consider the apostle, the sent one, and high priest of our profession. Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Remember Him. Be mindful of Him. Remember our calling. Second thing to remember. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Remember that God is our reward. God is our reward. Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah, he's often remembered and called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah endured far more than you or I could imagine. But Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, and in fact, he's the author. Laments. The book of cries. In the book of laments, he, listen to this, rejoiced in God. Yes. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 24, he says this. Now listen. He says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. It's great, isn't it? The Lord is my portion. Listen to this, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Well, the prophet Jeremiah may well have read what David had written many, many years earlier. In Psalm 16, verse 5, David writes this. Again, he says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. That's a great expression. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou, speaking of His God, Thou maintainest my lot. There's a lot there. There's a whole message right there in that verse. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my reward. He is my portion, my reward of mine inheritance and of my cup. He says, Thou maintainest my lot. I was interested in those words. I looked them up. The idea of that phrase, maintainest my lot. Thou art the security of my lot. Thou holdest my lot. What's he saying? I belong to you. I belong to you. My future, my days are yours, God. And you're my portion. a third thing for us to remember in these days. Remember. Remember our salvation and our strength. Remember our salvation and strength. David, again, David writes in Psalm 37 and verse 39 these words. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Did you hear that? Number one, where's our salvation? Our salvation is of the Lord. We're not looking to our own strength. I'm a Baptist preacher. I love to get folks in that baptistry back there. But baptism doesn't save us. Not being a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Not by our good works. Our salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. It's Jesus Christ that died for us. It's Jesus Christ that paid the price to purchase our salvation. And in that, on the foundation of that, He, my God, is our strength. When? In time of trouble. What trouble? Any trouble. Whatever that time is. Where do we go to look for help? And as Hebrews said, to the very throne of grace, to God's throne. Wow. Well, the circumstances of these days can be discouraging. An old preacher friend of mine, and I know you've probably heard this expression, but the first preacher I ever heard use this expression was a preacher by the name of Bill Finnegan, William Finnegan, good dear friend, good brother. And he used to take a little liberty with this, and he'd speak of how we might answer someone when they ask us how we're doing, and we might answer them somehow, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. And he'd always respond with, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? We need to have a heavenly perspective of any and all circumstances we might be dealing with. Many people, yes, many people are struggling physically, emotionally, financially, and maybe even spiritually. The uncertainty of the times generates some anxiety in us, regardless of how much we may claim we're doing just fine. And behind those smiles, there's a measure. A measure, whether small or great or somewhere in between, of anxiety. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I am eternally grateful for how the Word of God ministers to God's people. And believe, you have to be a child of God to understand that. The lost person doesn't understand. In fact, the lost person will mock that and laugh at that. But the Word of God ministers to God's people, to the heart of God's people. Imagine going through all of this, all that's going on, and not know God. As I said earlier, I'm sorry for those who do not know God, do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's Word has an amazing ability through a work, of course, through the work of the Holy Spirit of God, to vanquish discouragement. Going back to the prophet Jeremiah, you may be familiar with the circumstances of the day in which he was living. He was witnessing his beloved Jerusalem and Judah falling deeper into sin. He was watching them drift farther and farther away from their God and the things of their God. God had given them the task, the ministry of warning, people of God's coming chastening on them. And His chastening would come upon them through the wicked, heathen, pagan Babylon of all places. Well, His message was rejected. Folks didn't like to hear. The leaders of the day, they didn't like to hear that. And Jeremiah ended up in a dungeon filled with slime, a slime pit. But, now listen to this, get this. But through his tears, he could declare, "The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul." Therefore, because of that, because of what I have in Christ, I will hope in Him. How beautiful is that, beloved? Isn't that great? If you are a Christian, that's got to minister to your soul. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's got to speak to your heart, and I trust that it does. Yes. We're not together. We are not together, but we're not alone, as we said earlier. We might not be together here in this auditorium today, but we're not alone. We're in one accord. We are in agreement. We have the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be with you. And God knows that. God knows that. And we are going to preach. Now listen, I said we are going to continue to preach the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And all along the way, beloved, we will continue to trust God. Well, what is the Lord doing in these days? Well, I am confident that He is doing more than we are aware of. I hear some tremendous reports from mission fields around the world. Yes, they're dealing with the same things we are, regardless of where they might be. They can't meet together. But beloved, God is still being proclaimed. Being proclaimed in every and any way possible. And we're trying to do the same. Can we unite on that? Can we not be in agreement? Can we not be in one accord, beg God to deliver His Word to hearts right here in the city of Fort Worth and to the othermost parts of this earth planet? Can we not, beloved, agree? Can we not be in agreement to, listen, love this world as God so loved the world? I trust we can. Can't explain it. All week long, there's been a song on my heart. I want to share it with you. I purposely tried to break away from doing this Wednesday evening, but here it is, it's back. But a song that's been on my heart all week. It's a very simple, very, very simple hymn that has blessed my heart for, oh my, more than 40 years. The title of the song is, and as always, I get to this point and it's so hard. Title of the song is Complete in Thee. Everybody might not be familiar with that song. Again, it's very old. It was first published in 1858, 162 years ago. But still, such a great message A man by the name of Aaron Wolf penned these words. Read just a few of the verses. Listen to this. Please, might they speak to your heart? He writes, "Complete in thee no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace has conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied." Listen. "Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more, complete in thee." The last verse. "Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be at thy right hand, complete in thee." Wow. Quite a testimony in that little song. Beautiful, beautiful words. My prayer is that you can claim them for yourself. That you do know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, we've tried to lay out here this morning that there's strength for us. There is strength, there's assurance, there's hope for us in the face of discouragement. Discouragement cannot defeat us. We have Jesus. He, as we saw from the scripture and even from our song, is our portion. If you're not saved, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't make that statement, complete in thee. I beseech you. I beseech you today, right there where you're at, wherever that is, call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Call out to Him. Realize, recognize the reality that yes, indeed, you are a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. Call out to Him. Acknowledge that sin. Confess your sin. And receive by faith Jesus Christ as your Savior. Huh? So often at this time in a message, I use those words of the Scripture where the Word of God tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes. Wherever you are, right now, you can be saved. You can know that hope, that assurance, that strength of the Lord will become your portion. Father, we bow before you once again, thanking you for Jesus, thanking you for that blessed hope that is ours in Him. Please, Lord, do for precious, precious souls, wherever they may be. Please meet the need of hearts and lives. Lift, Father, help us to see, to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Regardless of what may come our way, our hope rests in you. The Lord is our portion. And I do pray for anyone, everyone, who might have heard this message today and does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh Lord, help us to lay aside religion. Help us to lay aside works and cling by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be mindful later on this afternoon, towards this evening, there'll be a message put up both on, it'll be on Facebook, be on YouTube, be available on Sermon Audio for you to watch and be benefited from, be blessed by. So please be mindful that Brother Alan Little will be preaching that message for us this evening. Once again, it's so good to be able to come to you by way of the live stream. Lord bless you. Hopefully, prayerfully, we'll be together soon. Bye-bye.